The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 14th day of December. That's right, folks, halfway through the month, 2022. And tonight we have, of course, on the board, none other at the helm than Courageous Craig.
Good evening. It's another windy Wednesday.
Yeah, it is. It is a windy Wednesday. And that is Miss Apothecary, the medicine marm of the apothecary, Miss Wendy Wilson.
I'm here, Pastor.
Yeah, you are. Now, we have a whole lot to get to, so we're going to have to do some like lightning rounds tonight, Wendy, because my phone's been ringing off the hook with people with prayer requests. Now, let me tell you something. This is an absolute positive fact. This is a fact. Now, if people actually believed, if they really would believe in the power of prayer, America today would not be bleeding out. This world would not be in the condition it's in. If people believe, you see, now, do you know who said that? God. God said that. If you really believe, if you have the faith, if you have the faith, you can move mountains. And so, Pastor Joe and I was just talking earlier about that. And anyhow, so I'm going to ask people to try to really believe tonight because we have a number of people that really need prayer. And I'm going to start that out right now. Wendy, the DeLorio family, their house this morning burnt to the ground. Their house burnt to the ground this morning. They had a nice house, too, and with all the Christmas presents and everything. And their neighbors have called me and said, please, Pastor, please get the people on the radio to pray for the DeLorio family here. This happened. They lost everything. It's there. And so we're going to do that. But by God's grace, none of them got hurt. They were all right. So that's the most important thing. Homes you can replace. But it just hit at a really bad time. And of course, if anybody out there wants to help this family, you can send a donation to Doers of the Word Church. But make sure you put the DeLorio or the Christmas family on that. And if everybody listening to this radio program tonight sent a dollar, they could buy a brand new house, okay? But anyhow, so if any of you listening want to help at all this Christmas time, just send it to Doers of the Word Baptist Church at 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio. We give that address out all the time. Zip code is 44065. Or just go to our website, wrwl.org, and our address is up there. But make sure you put down DeLorio or the Christmas family fire. Just put down that Christmas fire. We'll know what it is now. And so we're going to pray for them tonight. And also, Wendy, Grandpa Jim, one of the, I would call him a statesman. He is, in my opinion, he's a statesman. Jim McNeil. He's a member of Doers of the Word Baptist Church. Jim's, he has called and he has asked us to, he's had a really terrible year, not this year. I mean, it's not been a good year for Jim. Jim's really being tested with his health and a lot of other things. But his son, Scott, and wife Heidi, they lost their son Tyler in a workplace accident, just happened yesterday, and it just devastated the family with, you know, the way it happened. So we're going to pray for them. And then Pastor Joe Larson, we want to pray for Pastor Joe. Joe's got bronchitis, and he you know, Joe's no kid. Anyhow, he's got bronchitis, and I had to tell him, Joe, go to bed. He was not feeling good. He was telling me, Pastor, I'm not feeling good at all. I said, go to bed, Joe, go to bed. He was so worried that I might need some help, you know, because he has so many articles and things to get out. And I told him, go to bed and stay in bed until you're better. And then the whole Donlin family has got, they've got the flu. So all of these people have called and asked for prayer. So I'm going to start, and if you folks out there, join us, if you will. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just would pray for the DeLauro family, Lord, that you would just intercede at this time of year. Lord, let them know that what a blessing it is that none of them were hurt, and then that all of those things can be replaced, Lord, so that you would intercede and provide them with a home and whatever that it is that they would be needing this Christmas season, Lord. And be a comfort. We pray for a comfort to that family at this time. Also, I want to pray for Grandpa Jim and his son Scott and Scott's wife Heidi, and Lord, and the entire family for, Lord, as they're grieving right now for the loss of Tyler, their son, yesterday in that terrible accident, Lord. So I would pray, Lord, that you would just be a comfort to them. It's a terrible thing to lose a child. Just be a comfort to them, Lord, if you would. And then, Lord, I do want to pray, too, for Pastor Joe. He's no child, and he's got a bad case of bronchitis, Lord, that you might touch him and heal him, give him a healing, and for the entire Donlin family who are all sick with the flu, that you might, again, intercede on their behalf. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All righty, Wendy, the title of the message was Baal, Moloch, and Woke. Baal, these are three pagan gods. Now, Baal was the considered the Zeus, or, in fact, here, Baal, the meaning is master or lord. He was master or lord. He was comparable to, as the Christian faith, in their minds, and the pagan, as God the Father. And he was the counterpart. His wife was Ashtaroth, according to legend. And then his mistress was Asherah. Now, Baal was the god of sin. He was the god of child sacrifices, pedophilia, orgies, bestiality, LGBTQ of that day, murder. In other words, he would be like the god of the Democratic Party today, right now. And so here we're going to pick it up where we left off. And all of these other gods, Moloch was supposed to be like the son of Baal, and all of these others, as we go through there, this message here will bring a lot of that out. Now, here there was a prophet who some were referred to as an itinerary prophet, or it was supposed to be a prophet of God, and his name was Balaam. Now, Balak was the king over there of the Moabites and that. And he asked Balaam to curse Israel. And Balaam refused to curse Israel. Well, no, he did. He wanted to for the money, but he couldn't do it because, let's just say that he cursed Israel and said, God will curse Israel, and God God didn't bring a curse on it. What would that tell the heathen about God?
He was weak. Didn't exist.
Right. And so Balaam was out there, and he wanted it to make a prophecy and curse Israel for money. And Balak had paid him all this money, and so every time he would open his mouth to curse Israel, God would not let him. It would be the opposite. He would end up blessing Israel. And so God, he would tell Balak, I can't do it. God won't let me do it. Okay. And Balak says, look, man, I'm paying you. Right? So Balaam come up with this idea. And the idea was, look, if you could get the daughters of Moab to seduce the Israeli men, then and the sexual sin, then God would curse them. Okay, and so the idea was to lead them into sexual sin, and then from there to idolatry, and then God would curse. And so that was the plan. Well, this is where we're going to pick it up right here in Numbers 25, and we're going to read verses 1 through 18. And so here, as we start, we see here that in verse 1, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto their sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down their gods. Now the daughters of Moab were prostitutes. They were basically, they were of that prostitute cult. And so their job again was to seduce all of the men of Israel. And they were doing a pretty good job of it, seducing them into sexual sin. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their God, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods, and joined, and Israel joined himself into Baal Peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun. Now, it meant two things. It meant take the heads there meant the leaders, all the leaders of the people, but it also meant literally their heads too, and to hang them against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay you every one his man that were joined to Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought into his brethren a Midianite woman, right in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of Israel, of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And said again, here they were to have nothing to do with the Moabites, and especially with prostitutes. And so he came in right in front of everybody. This guy wasn't real smart, okay? Believe me. And so here, in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation, and took a javelin in his hand, and went forth into the man of Israel, into the tent, and thrust both of them through the man of Israel, and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel, and those that died in the plague were 24,000. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the high priest, had turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, and I consumed, and not the children of Israel, my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I will give unto my covenant of peace, unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of the everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Now here, that...
Now, Pastor,
Midian,
Pastor,
yes, ma'am.
Pastor, mm-hmm. Can I say something real quick?
Sure, yeah, that's why you're here.
Okay, so just reading this and how God's reacting and communicating, that's not a God that's going to be real tolerant of sin, is he?
No, he's not. He's not real tolerant of sin. This is what we were talking about. Yesterday we were in Judges 19, and in Judges chapter 19, the Sodomites, the LGBTQ of that day in Judges 19, they came after a man, a wayfaring man that had came into the city, and when the man who that took him in, the old man took him in his house, and when the Sodomites came, that was the LGBTQ of that day, when they came to his house demanding that this man come out so that they could sodomize him. Now, instead, he sent out his concubine. He had a daughter and a concubine, and the LGBTQ of that day sodomized the woman all night long, and she made it back to the doorstep in the morning and died, okay? And then these were the tribe of the Benjamites who did this, the tribe of the Benjamites. And because of that, see, that sin was so vile, okay? And to God, that sin of sodomy. See, today people don't understand. It was so offensive and repulsive to God. And that sin of sodomy today is embraced. It's embraced by all the major media. They embrace that. The public school systems actually teach that the sin of sodomy, okay, to be a sodomite, what they call a gay person, not only is legitimate, but it is desired, it's favored, preferred over a natural and normal lifestyle. And that's our society today. And so these people, and the neo-evangelicals also, but the apostate church embraces. Abortion and sodomy are the basis of the apostate church today, okay? The entire Democratic Party, Joe Biden, these people are wicked to the core. That apostate that ran for Senate in Atlanta and Georgia, that man was that apostate preacher. He's evil to the core. Now, here's the problem today. We don't have enough real pastors, real men of God. See, in those days, the real men of God would stand up, and they would out. They would out these people, the wicked people. They would call them out. Just like here, well, exactly what we just read right here. What Phineas did, this is what real pastors used to do. I remember even when I was growing up, like John the Baptist, when he called out Herod, when he outed Herod, when Peter outed Ananias and Sapphira, and also Simon the sorcerer, okay, one by one, they outed the wicked people, they outed these people, but today, the pastors, if they only had the courage, now, just recently, John MacArthur did come out and out Newsom of California. And what I mean by outing these people is say, by name, calling them out by name, telling them they need to repent. You repent of that sin. If you don't repent, if you continue to shake that rebellious fist and sin in the face of a holy God, you're going to end up burning in hell. And that's what they need to do. But unfortunately, Wendy, the vast majority of the pastors today really didn't have the courage to do that. Okay, so, but the day is coming here in our society when real men of God are going to be faced with what Phineas was faced with. They're going to have to take a choice. The day is coming because of the wickedness and the evil that is out there today. And we'll see how many have what it takes, okay, to do that. So, there you go. What do you think about all that?
Yeah, I mean, if you just read Scripture, you can really understand, you can start to understand what God expects of us, you know? He's not, like you said, the wages of sin is death, so people make choices, and they sometimes don't realize how permanent it's going to be.
No, they don't. I should read again. I want to read very quickly the woke agenda. You're going to see what we started out by talking about how Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. And when we talk about the woke agenda, Baal and Moloch and woke, the woke agenda is the same agenda as Baal. Here, this is their agenda. This is right now what the left, their written agenda. Make abortion as plentiful and profitable as possible. Make it as profitable for, not, this is my words here, wicked, whorish women to carry their babies to term and sell them for organ harvesting. Now, they put that to carry their babies to term. There's big money. Chelsea Clinton said that that abortion is really good for the economy. We need as much abortion as we can have. Janice Yellen from the Treasurer recently has said these women that are working, that have a good job, and they get pregnant, they should go get rid of the thing and keep their job. These are wicked people. That Janice, she is wicked to the bone, okay? Now, you know they're wicked. And see, when you know that, you're supposed to call them out. And like I say, Janice Yellen, you need to repent, old woman. You're a wicked old woman, or you'll burn in hell, okay? That's what these pastors need to say. Now, number two, stock the libraries with pedophilia, grooming books aimed at kids. Promote drag queen story time in libraries. Promote gender fluidity in the children. Introduce porn literacy into schools. Queer the curriculum by exposing LGBT children to adult LGBTQ ideology. Introduce irreversible sex change operations for children. Promote same-sex bathrooms in schools. Introduce soft sentences for pedophiles. Push to lower the age of consent. Demonize any parent who dare speak out against our agenda. Report them to the FBI. Continue to promote the bioweapon kill shots as safe and effective. Keep convincing the simple-minded voter that our borders are safe, are secure. Well, and I'm going to have to stop right there because we're up against a break. But that's just a half of their agenda. But we'll be back right after this.
Silent words. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. This is Christ the King, the Babe, the Son of Mary.
So bring him incense gold and myrrh, come present King to own him, the King of Kings. Salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him.
This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. This is Christ the King, the Babe, the Son of Mary.
What child is this so laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels great with anthem sweet while shepherds watch
Already, we're back, and we have with us Miss Wendy Wilson. And Wendy, what do you have for us this week?
Well, freedom. That's my topic, freedom to choose, you know.
Well, you come to the right place for that. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, you know, we seem to be moving into a less flexible society and less flexible governance, you know. And pressure now for the FDA is on for them to change the policy with regards to your natural therapies and supplements. Most likely it's due because they notice that people are wanting more natural medicines, right? There was a review published in the Harvard Digital Review 25 years ago, Pastor. So this was some quotes from their review in 1997. They said, "A coherent policy toward alternative medicine and a more flexible regulatory scheme are required of FDA if Americans are to be given the freedom to choose different forms of health care safely and wisely." I thought that was an interesting quote where they said, if Americans are to have that freedom. What do you think?
Yeah, I heard that, you know, back in 1938, when early FDA information legislation was proposed, then right. Senator Royal Copeland, a Democrat from New York, succeeded at exempting homeopathic drugs from the usual FDA drug approval process, but they want to change that, don't they?
Right, because Americans need to be really prepared at this point for the possibility of new regulations similar, if not identical, to the European Union. So over the last 80 years, the FDA has garnished more authority and control over product markets. And as you pointed out, in the 1930s, the FDA classified medicinal herbs, homeopathic type products as food, separate from the prescription drugs, and they were exempted from a lot of that regulation. Now, but since that time, natural therapies have a proven track record of safety.
Much better.
Oh, yeah. But yet in today's climate, there is this push for new legislation and regulation over what is the safest medicine on the planet. And if you're asking why this is happening, this quote may explain it. This is from the Alliance for Natural Health. They said, in the eyes of the FDA, it seems that the besetting sin of natural therapies, as with supplements, is that they can, under certain circumstances, compete with FDA-approved drug company drugs, the very drugs that pay the FDA's bills, including staff salaries, end of quote. So I truly believe that. And they also added this. There is the possibility that the FDA might try to gain control over homeopathic and other remedies, which, if history is any indicator, could result in their removal from the market for being ineffective and not backed by science. So science has this tendency, and you can read about this tendency in a lot of medical journals, which I read quite a bit. If they are astonished in a study about an herb's benefit or performance, but they can't explain it, then obviously there says, you know, more research has to be done. But if they can't understand it or explain it, then it doesn't exist. Okay?
That's not science. That's not science.
Well, they don't accept it. They don't accept it if they can't explain it. If they can't figure out what God put in that plant that it does this thing, then it doesn't have that benefit. So that's
Wendy. If they don't know what a woman is, if they can't figure out what a woman, how in the world are they going to figure out what God put in those plants, right?
Right. Nah. Well, you know, God's a mystery. I think He keeps a lot of those little secrets to Himself. You know. There's hundreds of studies on garlic. Garlic's very broad spectrum and helps fight viruses, bacteria, fungi, but they can't figure out what chemical component in garlic does that because they want to make a drug out of it. So there's hundreds of studies on these plants. It's not that, you know, they've ignored them. It's just that they can't explain it. And if they can't explain it and exploit it, then it doesn't help anybody. Now, Congress, Pastor, has a history of protecting drug companies. Would you agree with that?
Oh, you bet. And I can't believe Ronald Reagan was snookered. He trusted people like President Trump did. He was surrounded with some of the bad people. He trusted the wrong people, and that's where it started, isn't it?
Well, Congress, more Americans renewed their interest recently in natural therapies with the COVID problem. So the medical establishment noticed this, and Congress has introduced new legislation on your dietary supplements. So, yeah, people turned to natural stuff when the COVID pandemic was here, and by the drove. Okay, and that kind of upset them a little bit. Here's a quote from the Pew Research Center in Washington. They said, amid consumers' rising dietary supplement use, which spiked during the COVID pandemic, Senators Durbin, he's a Democrat from Illinois, and Mike Braun, a Republican in Indiana, in April this year, has introduced legislation that would give the FDA greater oversight into supplement products, end of quote. So if the legislation is passed, you're going to see a radical change in the supplement industry in which the FDA is going to control with more vigor. They're going to implement things like which supplements will be approved to be in the market, the ability to approve ingredients within the supplements, limit the number of supplement brands on the market, because right now they're not happy with how many brands are on the market, way too many for them to even, regulate. Also, they say mandatory product testing. So the European Union, Pastor, went through something similar, and in 2003, the United Nations created what was called the Food Harmonization Code, also called the Global Harmonized System, in which they want to standardize products on the market. Now, this is how insane it is. You know how let's say you plant some herbs in your backyard, Pastor, and I plant some herbs in my backyard. Do you suppose they're going to be identical chemically?
Probably not, because the soil's not going to be the exact same, are they?
Absolutely. The zones in which you plant things, it changes them chemically a bit, so they're not going to be identical. But these folks in science and in these political regimes, they want to standardize everything. I read this article. It was just insane, where the European Union folks, the European Commission folks, they were presenting or suggesting that they chemically dissect a lot of your medicinal plants and then isolate all that nutrition. And then let's say you wanted to have an echinacea supplement. They would make you buy all the individual elements of echinacea to put it back together again. Isn't that crazy?
It is. It's insane. But this is where we're at. Look, we have to fight, Wendy. I know there's a lot of people saying, won't they ever stop? It never stops, right? Our job, you know, God is given a very, very clear resistance to tyranny. This is pure tyranny, pure, pure tyranny. What you need to do is write up a paper on that, and I know Peter Glidden would do the same. Write up all the reasons why we need to keep the natural herbs and make it in a petition form. We'll mail it out. We'll mail them out in our newsletter to have people send it, fill it out and send it to their state reps. And then we'll go after, you know, but it's got to be a strong, strong letter, okay?
Yeah, and it you know, I went to Washington back in 2004, and I met with several congressmen because they've been trying to go through the back door to get this kind of legislation going on the supplement market for decades. And when I met with some of the congressmen there, very nice, Congress had an older, more mature group of folks, and they said, well, have you not noticed Congress has, you know, got a mature leadership, and those folks use supplements. I don't think they want to lose their supplements. I don't think you have anything to worry about. Now look at Congress. You have a much younger set of individuals there. So
you got AOC and the Squat. These are some wicked, wicked people there. Yeah, you're right. There is a lot very much younger.
Well, what the European Commission did, they enacted this global standardization code. Have you noticed when you ship something internationally, it has an HS6-digit code? That's part of that system where it's supposed to describe what you're shipping. Everything's got a code to it. So this brings sanctions as food legislation if it's enacted around the world. So if you're shipping something you shouldn't and you described it improperly, and when it goes through customs, you know, it's a problem. So these laws are always in review, as you know, Pastor. They're adding on to them. And when the European Commission enacted this about a decade ago, the people of the European Union, they lost the ability to purchase over 20,000 supplements instantly. They were taken off the market. This is a huge system there. It impacts agriculture, trade, manufacturing, and it will eventually affect every consumer on this planet. So the point is, the U.S. has never been as close to becoming a Western branch of the European Union than they are right now. And the thing is, you know, the natural healing area is growing like a weed. The world governance agencies and the FDA has really watched the supplement market grow substantially since 1994. And it's real apparent that the people want natural medicine, but certain agencies and governments want to restrict and control that market. Now, according to the Pew Review, the FDA is not currently equipped to tightly regulate the supplement industry. That's why they're pushing for regulations. And yes, the supplement industry that has a safety record above and beyond prescribed medicines, they're saying seems to need more regulation. Here's what the Pew Review said. The FDA needs to provide more robust surveillance and consumer protections on the supplement market. So, again, we're at the same argument. You know, it's for your best interest. We're helping you. We want to keep you safe, but what they wind up doing is taking away from your freedom to choose. And when you have regulations, what happens, Pastor?
When you have regulations, certain people get rich, you know, and other people can't afford.
Right, can't afford. There's a cost. There's a big cost to regulation, isn't there?
Yeah, there is.
So we all know that with more regulations, the cost of products go up. So at first, the new regulations will seem harmless, you know, with manufacturers registering their company with the FDA, providing ingredient lists and other information the agency deems as mandatory.
Pretending to be legitimate and honest.
But all that costs money. You know, so businesses have to assign somebody, or the owner has to spend the time and money to assemble all these documents and jump through all these hoops, and that means that consumers will be footing this bill, and it's going to be passed on to them at the marketplace for a while. Okay.
Well, we got to fight it, Wendy. We got to fight it with everything we have.
Well, do you know that the people of the European Union can't purchase any herb supplements that contain more than one herb ingredient? Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so check your pantry. And look at your supplements. Do you have them supplements that have 2, 5, or 12 ingredients? Well, that most likely will become a problem, and that's going to be missing from the store shelves with the FDA in embracing this global food harmonization code. It's also called the Codex Alimentarius. You've heard that, right?
Right.
Okay, why does that name matter, Codex Alimentarius?
Why does it matter? Well, you go ahead and tell the folks.
Well, it means whatever is in the code must be based on sound science. So you're going to have to prove your herbs like echinacea and garlic do what you say they do. So that means there's going to be an implementation requiring manufacturers of supplements to provide scientific support of their products to the FDA.
Well, I've got absolute proof by the highest authority that ever existed right here in front of me. Because
in the Bible, right?
God said it, okay? So,
right. Yeah, right.
And God has never been wrong.
Right. Now, so your drug companies actually invest millions of dollars in providing this type of information. So now you see why the Europeans lost thousands of supplement products due to the excessive cost of complying with the regulations. The only companies that remain are going to be the drug companies making their versions of your supplements. Now, I was asked at one point a few years back to get my products into Australia. The Australian people were telling me, we don't have stuff like that here. Well, Australia is part of the European Union, see. So when I looked into it, they consider your herbal supplements or any supplement, your vitamin C and stuff, as a prescription drug. You have to have a prescription there, just like you do in Germany. And so when I inquired about getting approval for herbal supplements, let me tell you, the regulations to get that done, you have to hire a company to maneuver the maze, and you have to pay somebody. So let me just say, on the cheap side, to get one product entered into the approval process doesn't mean it will be approved, but just one product would cost $100,000.
Well, folks out there, again, this is just one more thing we have to fight. But that's why God has raised us up for such a time as this. He's raised us up for such a time as this to run to this battle and meet the challenge. You know, remember, Wendy, God says this, that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world, huh?
Right, right. Okay. And, you know, the thing you got to remember is it starts out looking very benign and useful, but that gets their foot in the door.
Yep.
And I have this saying, if you give a mouse a cracker, he's going to want a glass of milk, you know? So if they get this legislation approved, There's no, what law never goes through a resolution? They all go through resolutions. They all get changed and updated and added to. So, you know, if you're going to sit back and say, I think it's a good thing, well, get ready for, you know, within several years, it'll whittle down your freedom to choose. Is what they're going to do.
Well, you know, I don't expect to be here forever, and I have your products, and they've got a shelf life, what, 10, 12, 13 years on
well,
your...
Well, somebody asked me about that shelf life just recently, and, you know, I had a professor when I was in herb school, and he went with the founder of the school, John Christopher, out to the Native American Indian reservation, and they saw the healing man there. I don't know what you call him in the Indian world, but, you know, the guy that was in charge of healing people.
Called the medicine man.
Okay, medicine man. And so in his little, you know, medicine shop or whatever he had there, he had a bottle of herbal tinctures that were 100 years old. Think of wine bottles with all the dust on them. That's what he had, you know. And so my professor said, I had to taste one of them. And he got permission from the medicine man, and he tasted it. It was so strong, he said it would curl your toes, right? So herbal tinctures, if they're made properly and stored properly, have a very long shelf life. But, you know, you know what entity, what power that be doesn't want to see you put a 100-year expiration date on something.
You know? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's just you know, but you're right. God says herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations. So you've got entities wanting to take them away or restrict them severely. Now, when you do that, like the European Union countries, there's 13 countries in the European Union, you can't get certain things, or if you want them, you have to actually go to a doctor and get a prescription and pay a lot of money for a supplement.
Well, you know what, Wendy? You see, now, what I have up there, it looks like an apothecary shop. I've got so much of your products. I mean, well, you know that. I mean, I've got hundreds of bottles of your product. Now, you say, well, aren't you a little bit overdoing it? No, because here's something I know. See, I know that if things get shut down, if we go into total martial law and we end up having to go and, you know, like they tried to do, make us all stay in the house and close us down, that I have relatives, and those relatives have relatives, and you know who they always call on when they need help. Just like at our church, you know, people that, you know, that don't never attended our church and that, but whenever they get in trouble, they come and they call upon our church and ask for help. And so I'm prepared, you see. This is what the Bible says. He talks about the ants and the grasshoppers, you know. The ants got prepared. The grasshoppers didn't get prepared, right? And so we're, you know, we have these things that we keep a good amount of these all-natural medicines. So right now, we're living in very volatile times. The opposition, there's things that are coming out right now, things that are coming out on the Biden crime cartel. The Biden crime cartel that has been working hand in hand, Wendy, with the Mexican drug cartels and the others, bringing people in into the country, bringing drugs, as they're working in obedience with the Chinese Communist Party to depopulate the planet. They've been killing. Americans are dying every day. I mean, from drugs in this country, in large and huge numbers. They're killing the children, and they've got the full support of NBC, ABC, CBS. Their job is to cover stuff. Keep the attention off that's really happening. You know, pretend like you're concerned, but really make sure you cover the backs of the crime cartels, the Biden crime family, so they can keep bringing fentanyl in. They can keep bringing child molesters and pedophiles, murderers, and terrorists in into this country here. If I were people out now today, anything could happen quickly. I would do this. I would go to www.thepowerherbs.com, or I would call you at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. I would get as many of your natural medicines, your natural, actual herbal medicines, as I could while I could. That's what I would do. And so, in fact, you got a sale going on right now, don't you?
Yeah, we have our Christmas New Year sale. Runs through the first of the year. It's 30% off orders of $65 or more. And it applies to the formulas we make, so there's some restrictions. Some items that we don't make aren't included. And, you know, it's just a really good sale to stock up with. And a lot of our customers look for these sales, and our larger sizes have a cost break built into them. But with a sale like this, you really save over 30% typically. So, yeah, it's a good time to stock up and save, you know, as you move into the new year.
Well, I know you're planning on running out on me tonight because you want your beauty sleep, and I know you have an early day. But do you know who Karen Kingston is?
I heard the name.
And she's a very well-known doctor, and when it comes to, and she worked for Big Pharma, for Pfizer, and she's going to be talking about luciferase in the shots, the stuff that is in shots. And boy, it's something that you're going to be interested in. And I'm going to be playing that in about 2 minutes.
Oh, I'll stick around for that one.
All righty, yeah. If you can listen to this, you'll want to hear this, about 15 or 20 minutes of it, and then you go get that beauty sleep.
Okay.
And then you'll say, well, I did it for the old guy. And you'll feel better. You'll feel better. All righty? You hear that, folks out there? If you do it for the old guy, you'll feel better. Trust me, right? Alrighty, we're coming up to the break. What do we got, about 20 seconds?
Yep.
Okay, we got about 20 seconds, folks. So, WRWL.org, WRWL.org. You want to go to WRWL.org and look at all the stuff that's up there. And, I got to tell you, in the newsletter, you got to get the newsletter. You got to get it. Be right back after this with more.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.